All right, so we are back, Bill 2013 in beautiful San Francisco. Very happy to have Alice Holochek and John Sheehan with us. Both of these guys at some point in time have been on Channel 9. You remember the App V interviews. You probably remember the Shell interview from way back when. It's great to see you guys again. So tell me a little bit about what do you do these days?
Yeah, well, thank you for having us, first of all. And, you know, happy build, everybody.
Yeah.
And right now, I'm working, obviously, still in Windows. Windows is kind of my passion. That's kind of what I came to Microsoft to do. Both John and I, and John will talk about himself, but we work on the developer platform. So I'm the VP of development for the developer experience team, and our job is to steward and shepherd the platform for Windows.
Right on.
And I'm an architect that works on Alesha's team, kind of doing that stuff.
Excellent. So now, let's get right down to this. I mean, in 8.1, you guys have made advancements in the app experience and the app model. What are some of the kind of key updates you've made or enhancements you've made for the developer in the platform level?
Sure. You know, some of the things we're doing right now with devices are really exciting. So we have all new APIs around USB and HID and Bluetooth.
Nice.
And as you saw probably in the keynote this morning, you can do some really powerful things with that. So we're really trying to like give developers more access to the power of the platform and the you know the ability to plug in devices and extend the functionality.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, so connecting Windows and Windows computers and tablets and to its surroundings, super important, super exciting. Big thing for us is kind of playing up the new investments into the app model, enabling developers to do more in the app store. And so some of the things which come immediately to mind is we have improved a lot ways how developers can make money. Like we are extending Windows to go to 150 new markets or whatever the number is. I actually don't know it off the top of my head, but like we keep moving forward. So we have things like new monetization systems for China and linking to that. We have made a lot of investments actually into the app model to enable apps which are much larger or which can be potentially much larger than they have been before. Games come to mind because they have a lot of assets. John touched on the devices enablement. So one of the things which is really interesting is how density of screens, the pixel density of screens is going up. And what does that mean for size of apps, particularly when you take into account multiple languages and things like that.
Sure.
So again, investments into that. A lot of investments into our graphic stack and our composition stack. There are some really cool talks in the sessions around composition and whatnot, talent resources for game builders, building vast worlds.
Nice.
Like huge set of investments there.
Absolutely. So. And the demo that we saw today that LeBlanc did with the flying thing, I mean, that was remarkable.
Yeah, the Mars stuff, yeah.
Nice,
that was very cool, yeah.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, the last time, I mean, how were developers taken to this platform? Like, what are you learning from how developers are taking advantage of all that you're exposing?
We've got a lot of really positive feedback from developers around things like our async model, the ability to be able to very quickly create these apps that are like really responsive, and do async programming, which has traditionally been very, very hard.
Absolutely.
In 8.1, we invest a lot in the tooling. Actually, I think Antoine showed
he
some
did.
Of it around where now it's even easier to debug async stuff and things like test the power, you know, measure the power of the how much power your app's taking, those kind of things.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, like, there's obviously positive feedback. Sometimes there's a negative feedback. Like, there's both sides of the coin always. So one thing which is important to say is, like, we always listen. Like, we always want to learn from what the devs are telling us and when they are saying, hey, we need more here. We need, better APIs here.
Absolutely.
Help us there. But generally, the feedback is very good. Like we have a strong momentum in the store. There's lots of new apps in the store. It is the fastest growing store out of all of our competitive platforms, which we keep. Like if you look at the time from the store inception to how quickly we got to whatever the number of apps in the store are, like that is the fastest growing store out there. And so we are pretty happy with where we are. And obviously, the investments are continuing. It's
right
a lot of.
Yeah, well, I've spent a lot of time working with the guys who wrote the Nook app.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I want to shout out to those guys for releasing the latest release, which is beautiful. They did a lot of work in performance, and they, it's been nice to watch the progression to 8.1 and stuff, and because I'm seeing what they're working on there as well. Yeah. So nice work. We do this live so that you can ask questions. Nikhil would like to ask this. Can apps be made in Windows 8.1/8 be programmed to be connected with other devices like Android or any other operating system? For example, using cloud services of Windows, pushing the data to other OS and vice versa. So can I write an app, Windows 8 app?
I'm thinking how to say it, and not only yes, but like hell yes. Like we
say hell yes. Right on.
Absolutely. Like we understand that all of us live in a multi-device world, right? And so we all carry a number of different devices. And so connectivity with different operating systems, different clouds, super important for us. We have made a huge investment, as an example, into our networking stack, improve performance and unify the networking stack between the different programming models. Mm-hmm. So connectivity to different OSs, connectivity to different clouds, super, super important.
Excellent. So Charlie Jackson, can WebGL be incorporated in development of an app that is being done primarily with C#, C++, and XAML?
Sure. So we made a bunch of investments in 8.1 on our WebView.
Okay.
And so making sure that now like you can really leverage the power of the web in your C++, C# apps and have it blend seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So if you're using the WebView, then you can use WebGL. You can't really use WebGL in your XAML code. That wouldn't make any sense.
Sure.
But if you have an app where you want to do some of the work in XAML and some of it in HTML, that works great.
Right. And I just want to layer on this. Like some of the coolest stuff happened exactly in this area, which is the whole WebView is now windowless, so it completely composites and layers with the rest of your with the rest of your XAML or whatever it is UI. And so you can take the WebView and put it in a DX app. You can take WebView, put it into your XAML app. It can be written in C++ and C#, and it will properly Z-layer and compose. And so not only with the output, but also with the input. And so it's very, very exciting stuff. And obviously, what you do in the WebView is up to you. WebGL is
awesome.
Great thing to do, obviously.
Absolutely. That's excellent. I mean, the Z-indexing thing, I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because if you build like a flyout using a web view, it would go under the XAML control.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Rock and roll, you guys.
Yeah. Yep.
That's beautiful. What about geofencing APIs? Did not find any sessions for it.
We have them.
Yep. Okay. Right on.
Yeah, we put a lot of work in the geofencing APIs. They're pretty rich. And
so for those out there who may not know what a geofencing API is, what is it?
Basically, it's where you can define an area of interest of various shapes, usually. Mm-hmm. And you can say, at these GPS coordinates and for this many area around it, if I cross that boundary, then I want to be notified so my app can take action on it.
Nice. Cool. So it's in there. One of the things I want to ask before we get to the next question is, based on mixing and matching programming language and runtimes and models, I mean, when is it a good idea not to do that? So for example, I have to think through if I have a garbage collected runtime and another garbage collected runtime and then a reference counted runtime underneath. I mean, I have to think through as an engineer, when's the right time?
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. No, look, I think that it's a very, very good question, and we have gotten a lot of these, not just externally, but even internally, because we have teams internally at Microsoft using HTML and C++ or C# and C++. We actually have even teams using JavaScript and C#. And in general, you can mix and match them all. There's really no technical problem why not to do that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we have built a WinRT system with all of these mix and matching in mind. Mm. The interesting problem, however, in my mind is there's a cognitive load which you as a developer have to really understand what's going on under the cover. And there are indeed, like in the case of JavaScript and in the case of C#, there are actually two different garbage collectors which are at play. Mm-hmm. And it is very easy to get yourself into a situation where your app, maybe it's not leaking, but it's perceivably leaking because there's a lot of memory which is getting accumulated inside of the app.
Sure.
And the garbage collectors have a hard time communicating because there is a boundary between these two components. And so the garbage collectors have a hard time communicating to break the cycles, as we call them.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right on. All right, so Atif would like to know, when would we see Windows 8 apps on kitchen, cars, and other home appliances, like devices and TV, et cetera? So moving into more of the consumer devices that aren't actually computing devices.
Alessia's going to take this question.
Okay. All right. So look, I think that as soon as, you know, a team or whatnot goes and builds them. Like, we are ready. Like, we have seen some of the stuff in the keynote today when Antoine was demoing or Julie was demoing the magic indirect swipe without touching the screen. We fully expect that these devices are going to make it more into a living rooms, more into kitchens and other living areas in the house, not just office. And we think that Windows 8 is definitely ready. Windows 8.1 is even more so ready to bring cool, interesting apps and scenarios, outside of just your laptop. And
totally.
Like, we want to let you do more.
And good.
We think that we are just, it's our imagination which is limiting right now.
Perfect. And there's also that, what would you call it, triumvirate operating system device known as the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Eugene would like to know, are new controls available for developers from the box, or should we use third-party controls for Mimics, the same picture? I'm not exactly sure what you mean, Eugene. Did you guys ship us some new controls?
Yeah, we have a bunch of new controls in the UI platform. As we evolve our thinking on what the computing experience could and should look like, obviously we are trying to make sure that all of these controls are available to developers to use them as well. So one which comes immediately to mind is Hub, which is very similar to the Windows Phone Hub control, and now is available also for PC and for the tablet experience. So yeah, definitely new controls.
Excellent, man. Jeff would like to know, any other new features in DX 11.2 than those shown? So LeBlanc showed, he mentioned it.
Yeah, tiled resources. There's a few of them, but the ones which we talked about in the demo, definitely the biggest ones.
Okay, cool. Right on. And are we seeing a lot of people, so DirectX, the cool thing about being able to do DirectX on a XAML surface is a cool thing.
Yep.
Are we seeing a lot of people actually doing that? I mean, on the Nook app, we do that a little bit, but are we seeing that? There's Fresh Paint. There's probably some other apps I can think of. But
we do. We definitely see people just going crazy. Like,
right on.
Look, we love XAML. We love the declarative API. But we all understand that the declarative API and the declarative UI has its own set of limitations.
Sure.
And there is always need for immediate style rendering. And DX is just, like, awesome. And
right on. You write your own shaders.
That's right.
There's a lot of C++ developers out there, so start doing that. Has any work been done to make writing integrated WPF DirectX apps easier?
Not as much as we would like to. There's still work left for us, for sure, to bridge those two technologies better. There's a bunch of open source projects, which we think that are really cool.
Yep.
SharpDX comes to mind. So shout out to those guys. They are doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So now we're going to get into, we got the elephant in the room is OpenGL. So are there any?
That's the elephant in the room?
Because there's a lot of people in San Francisco who use it. Any plans to bridge OpenGL DirectX to bring Android and iOS code base to Windows?
So there are some, again, open source libraries which let you do that very efficiently. We like them, we support them. And right now we have no more kind of to announce or talk about, but.
Cool. Good.
There's ways.
Right on. We said everybody out there to ask whatever you want, so you might not get the answer you'd love to hear, but we'll get an answer. Al, welcome back, man. Will more WinRT APIs become available to desktop apps in 8.1? I see this question so often. Like, why can't I access WinRT APIs from the desktop?
Yeah.
I guess that's what he's asking.
So, do you want to take it?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many more have really become available to desktop apps.
Okay.
I mean, the reason that you can't use all these APIs from desktop apps is it is just a different model. We've made some available, like file and some basic stuff that makes obvious sense. But a lot of these APIs are very much integrated and expected to work with our new app platform.
Sure.
And so, for example, I mean, some of it's even just UI, like it's a full screen dialogue that pops up and wouldn't make any sense if you had a windowed app. So those things just don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then some of them really, they exist just to bridge the world between the app container that we have, that protected environment, and the rest of the system. Mm-hmm. And if you're running a desktop app, you don't even need to do that. Like the desktop app has full access to the system. So.
True.
But John is obviously entirely right. And the only other thing is, like, where we are innovating in a ways that we don't have that type of technology on the desktop, we are bringing these APIs along. Mm-hmm. A great example of this is some of the MRT innovation, the multi-resource technology which we use.
Okay.
for doing multiple DPIs and languages and that type of stuff, because we have done a lot of innovation in that space.
Nice.
And we just, these APIs don't have any deep dependencies on the underlying ARM model, and so we brought them as an example. We brought them also to the desktop.
Awesome. Excellent, man. Keshav, any devices such as Arduino, Raspberry Pi supported with Windows 8.1?
Well, it's a great question. Love Arduino, have Raspberry Pi, like all all fantastic little pieces of technology. Well, so obviously, Windows doesn't run on any of these devices, obviously on Arduino for obvious reasons, and Raspberry Pi could arguably run Windows 8.1, but nobody wrote the set of drivers. We didn't. Okay. We didn't have a time to write the set of drivers. So from that perspective, no, but obviously communicating to these devices, we love that, and I have written a little app which talks to my Arduino, and nice. it's really cool.
Good.
And again, with 8.1, we've made it even better, because a lot of these things, you speak to them through either USB or Bluetooth.
That's right.
Now your modern app can directly talk to those.
Excellent. So let's geek out for just a couple minutes here, because I mean, in 8.1, one of the big things is we now can run on a device that we gave to 6,000 people today, the 8.1-inch Asus. Sorry, I don't remember the name you made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
We do.
What
the piece
what
of is, awesomeness.
We you just, got it. Yeah, the piece of awesomeness. It's so nice to see Windows on a small device.
Yeah.
What did you guys have to do technically in the operating system to make that possible? I mean, you've touched on it briefly in a few areas, but let's focus in on that.
Yeah, look, completely honestly, not much.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the foundation was laid down with 8. Like,
right on.
8 was designed around mobile and ultra-mobile computing, and 99% of those investments just translated beautifully over. Like, we did not have to go and re-engineer the operating system. Obviously, that thing runs on Intel's Atom chip, and so it just came along. We had to make some adjustments in the user experience and things like that, for sure. But even that, like, if you look at the dimensions, the physical dimensions of that thing, it's very similar to a portrait mode or even the split-screen applications which we had in Windows 8. And so when we engineered Windows 8, we had these devices in mind when we were building it. There were bugs, for sure, because we did not have the devices to test it on and things like that. But
excellent. So will there be any support for network discovery in WinRT?
Network discovery.
So I guess like if you're running a desktop app, you can click on find all the networks that are around me.
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, cool. So we are going to keep these questions, and we'll maybe get an answer for them some other time.
We can definitely find out, yeah.
Right on. Thanks for asking them. Keep on asking questions. If you just tuned in, we're here with John Sheehan and Alesh Holacek. They are engineering leaders, Windows platform. These are the guys and their teams that build what you're building on. So what are the options available with kiosk mode to keep the app set as the target?
Yep. So 8.1 introduces a new policy which lets you say, I want to boot into this app, and that's your kiosk
mode.
And
it'll keep you there.
Yeah, you cannot escape it.
Excellent.
It's a kiosk mode.
There's no charm bar anymore, no sharing from the kiosk mode.
There is, yeah, it's
right.
That's it.
Yeah. Awesome.
You will boot into a kiosk mode, and that's it.
Excellent. If I were to use my laptop to display an app to customers as seen in build earlier with John. So he already answered your question. Basically, you can't get out of kiosk mode if you opt to get into it.
That's right.
That's the whole point of the mode.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Is Tell Me available with Windows 8.1 or any speech recognition APIs?
So in the keynote, Gurdeep did a big announcement about what's happening with the Bing platform, and obviously the Bing platform is going to be our way how to do a speech recognition, and how do we move, as he put it, the eyes and ears and mouth of the computing, how we are thinking about bringing it into Windows. And so, yes, through the Bing set of APIs, we'll make these technologies available to the Windows developers.
Awesome. And we'll learn more about here. We'll have some Bing people here on Friday you can ask questions to, and we can dig into those controls.
Yep.
Is it possible to hook, intercept all requests made by user in WebView and probably abort or redirect requests?
So it depends what you mean by requests. I mean, I think what you probably mean is if the user hits links or if the internal logic of the page tries to do a navigate, the answer is yes. You actually get like a pre-navigate call. I forget what the name of the event is. And at that point, it's your choice to say, sure, let it navigate, or no, I don't want it to navigate. Okay. And at any point in time, you can turn around and navigate to the web view to whatever page you want. So if you wanted to say, hey, anytime they do a navigate, I want to take them to some alternate page, you could easily do that.
Now, let's talk about that. I mean, from a security perspective, if you have a web view, you want to trust the code that comes down from an arbitrary website.
Right.
But of course, you're in a sandbox called WinRT. The JavaScript can't get out to do bad things, though
right.
It does run at a pretty low level with respect to every other language on the runtime.
Yep.
So what are some of the new web view security model?
Well,
updates,
so
if any?
Well, I mean, first of all, when you actually look at the model, it's layered. So there's the full system like that the operating system runs at that has full access to everything. And then you're right that these apps run in a restricted environment that prevents them from doing damage to the rest of the system. But they still do have a lot of access to the system that you wouldn't want to give to random code being downloaded from the web. And so the web view is a way for you to basically create an even tighter box and says, this thing can run web code, but it can't, for instance, call WinRT APIs, which may give you access to lots of other things.
Right.
As far as additional security stuff we did in Windows 8, we actually didn't have things like smart screen turned on in your apps because it was one of those things that it was, anytime you turn on those kind of security technologies, you need to make sure you're very sure that it's the right thing to do for the developer. And so we did a bunch of investments in 8.1 to make sure that turning on smart screen was safe and the right thing to do. And now that we did, we actually can not only turn on smart screen, but if you hit something that's been flagged by smart screen, you actually get an event and notification. So we can tell the developer, hey, that code you were running in the web view, we actually detected something bad about it. And so those are the kind of things that we're doing now to make it even safer to consume web content in your app.
So speaking of which, I mean, when do you prescribe a web view implementation versus just writing an HTML5 native app?
Well,
what are the ways to think through?
Well, I mean, so building an HTML native app or HTML5 app is really just your choice of what programming language you like. You can pick anything. You can write HTML and JavaScript, you can write XAML and C Sharp, you can do whatever you want there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really just what language am I comfortable with. The web view is about consuming content from the web. So even HTML apps have a web view now. That's something new. In Windows 8, we just said create an iframe. And the issue with iframes are they're really not transparent to the so for example, if you're trying to host some content, like you have a news app and you just want to do a preview, if you're building a C# app in 8, then you can basically do a web control and you can host it. Whereas for HTML apps, it used to be that they could detect they were an iframe and try to do frame busting or it wouldn't display correctly. In 8.1, now we actually even allow HTML apps to use the web view. So they get all the additional security stuff that they wouldn't have got before.
Cool.
And it also makes it transparent so that the frame busting and those kind of things don't cause problems.
Awesome.
So they're just two very different scenarios.
I actually want to layer on that. Like, as I was thinking about your question, I thought that was pretty interesting. So one of the things which we have done, because obviously these conversations play out inside Microsoft as well in our own development teams. So one of the things which we have done is we actually went out and measured the memory consumption of various different applications, and what does that look like? Mm. And so you ask, look, when do I use WebView versus when do I write HTML app? And the answer to that, in my mind, is reasonably simple. If your app is predominantly HTML app, then you should write a HTML app.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that you will avoid loading the whole XAML framework into your app and thus saving a whole bunch of memory and resources, improving startup perf, improving all kinds of other performance characteristics. If your app actually is trying to mix together all kinds of different content, then using WebView in your native app or in your XAML app is a perfectly fine choice. So look, there is no prescribed guidance. We all have to use good judgment and our brains to decide what we are going to do there. So you have to think.
Totally. And remember, it's your app that uses electrons.
Yeah.
So use them wisely, man.
Yes.
Any new feature changes for sideloading apps or creating private company hubs for for line of business app deployment from Jim. Ask that.
We don't really have many new features that were specific to line of business apps, but a bunch of the features that we've done make that better. So one example is we have this new thing called bundles, where you can take, it used to be in Windows 8, let's say you translated your app into 100 languages, and you also supported low-res screens and all different, you know, high-res screens, and you supported DX, you know, 11, 10, and 9. You'd have a ton of resources in there. And then when you installed it on a machine, only a small percentage of those resources would ever be used by any one machine, but everyone would get, you know, would get all of them. So we did this thing where now we can actually just pull down the stuff that's applicable to your device and your configuration. And that is something that also is great for enterprises. One really nice thing about it is it used to be that if you built a native app, you have your you'd have your x86 version, your x64 version, and your ARM version as separate things, and then it was just up to you to figure out which one to push down to which device. This bundling also works for that, so those can go inside there as well.
Nice.
So now an enterprise just has one file that they manage, and they can install it on any of their devices, and it'll automatically just figure it out for them.
Awesome.
Excellent. Yeah, a lot of these investments were originally laid down with Windows 8, and now we are just continuing these investments. Like, one of the things which we have done in 8.1 is we extended the support for mobile device management, okay. And so we are now supporting other third-party management protocols to manage Windows devices as well, which also helps with deploying and making apps better.
Excellent. All right, Conrad wants to know, what about desktop apps for Windows RT? Will you allow compiling to ARM soon?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, our thinking is that not.
Okay.
This is mainly a statement of when we look at desktop apps, and when we look at the app model and the programming model of desktop apps, these apps are not designed for this ultra-mobile world, which the ARM technology, in our minds, represents. Mm-hmm. And so what we are trying to do is deliver a programming model and app model which is very tuned to computing per watt. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
How many watts does the app take? And in our experience, it's really difficult to, for example, in Win32 or even in .NET, to write a super responsive app for touch, and all of our ARM devices are designed around touch, right? And so we think that it would kind of undermine some of the design tenets which we have around these super low power, super mobile devices. So right now, it is not a technical challenge. It is kind of a decision which we have made.
Interesting.
And that's kind of how we are marching forward.
Now, one of the questions from a technical question I would have for you, I mean, would it conceivably be possible in the RT environment to run a Win32 app that can run in that environment for whatever reason, say it's signed or whatever, but not actually ever show the physical desktop itself? Just run the app in full screen mode and never really let the user get back to this thing called the desktop that they can't really use. Is that technically possible or just a bad design idea?
It's just code.
Yeah.
So it's only code. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, one of the reasons that we don't do that is because users actually expect a different experience from each kind of application, okay. Including, you know, some of them are very safe and really can't harm the system, and the other ones have full access to do whatever they want.
I see.
And so, you know, and not only that, and all of our Win32 APIs, our graphics APIs just weren't designed for this new windowed environment. So it would be pretty difficult for us to do that in a way that we really felt would work well for users.
We don't think that investment is worth it. Like, if you think about it, right? Like, do I want to have an NT services running on my tablet and just like chewing out my battery even if I'm not looking at it? Do I want to have a bunch of apps rendering through software like GDI. Just think about how underpowered comparatively the CPU is. You know what I mean? Like, so do we want to have that? And like, once you start to kind of go through that list, you're like, that's a lot of trade-offs. The thing which you are suggesting, certainly possible. Like, John said it right. It's just code. Like, if we think that that is an important scenario which we should go and solve, we can definitely write it. But we think that these devices have a different set of constraints in the battery, in the size, in the interaction model, and the WinRT platform is designed with these constraints in mind.
Right on. So on my Service RT device that I have, I removed the desktop tile completely. And I never spend any time in the desktop at all, unless I'm running Office.
Yeah.
In which case I'm running Word full screen, but blah, blah, blah. It's a conversation I've had many, many times with a lot of my colleagues who have an RT device and would ask me, why is there a desktop? But this has been a beautiful answer to that question. So let's move on. Are there any significant changes to the Windows 8.1 SDK for Win32 applications?
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes.
No matter. Win32 is still alive?
Yes.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I came from a session which we did, and that was a session on all of the different improvements we are doing for the desktop apps. Like, for example, one of the things which immediately pops to the top of my mind is, we all know that the devices are getting incredibly dense with respect to screens, right? Mm. And we also know that the desktop apps, as written today, don't look great on these desktop on these high density screens. Mm. And the future devices will be all high density screens, high DPI screens, as we say. And so, as an example, we have introduced a whole API set, which is based around window messages and Win32 NT user type of APIs, which help developers build the desktop applications, which bring these applications from on the desktop to these new modern devices with beautiful high density screens. And so that immediately is super super cool feature, super cool stuff.
Excellent. Zippy V, welcome back. How does the Windows support for 3D printing work? Now, by the way, 3D printing is killer, man. That is awesome. So how does it work?
I'm buying my Maker Replicator 2
absolutely
3D printer like as soon as I get back home.
Excellent,
like,
man.
I want to print some bases.
So I'd like to meet the dude who wrote that driver, or the person who writes those drivers, because printer drivers are hard to write correctly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kudos to those people.
Yeah.
How does it work, John?
So there's a standard file format, and I forget what it is.
Yeah, I'm blanking out too.
Like SDL or STM, or I don't know. There's a standard file format for describing the object in three dimensions.
Okay.
And basically, you can, through our printing APIs, you can actually send those kind of files to the printer and have it print out.
And we effectively wrote a class driver, which is now part of the operating system. And so you can take these printers and connect them to
plug and play.
Yeah, plug and play, and
wow.
Off it goes. And you can send the driver effectively through standard printing API or little augmented printing API. You can send these files, and on the other hand, a beautiful head will come out or whatever it is.
Whatever it is you make, man.
Set of gears or whatever, right?
Very, very cool. Maybe a device someday.
Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah, well.
Is Math ML supported in Windows Store apps, i.e. 11?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, me either.
So, yeah, sorry. Good question. We'll try to find out. Will Bluetooth support in 8.1 support repairing a headset without having to remove and re-add the headset device? Windows Phone 8 supports this.
My guess is, and I will say I'm guessing here, that was a bug. That was not like intended feature. So I'll venture to say yes, but I don't know the answer.
Right on. Does IE11 use Direct3D under the covers for WebGL? Will you share the wrapper with the community?
Yeah, it's using Direct3D under the cover. There's no wrapper. We literally we have some super capable guys on the IE team, and they pretty much took the WebGL spec and they just wrote a layer which takes the WebGL set of APIs and translate them directly to the set of Direct3D 3D calls, and it's working pretty well.
Excellent. And as John so elegantly said, it's just code.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's the same thing they do on a canvas.
Yep.
When you compute the canvas for rendering, it's all DirectX underneath.
Yep.
Right? So what are the improvements on speech recognition and Kinect on Windows?
We are probably not the right people to talk about
that.
Yeah, you're not the right people,
but hey, thank you, Golden Heaven. We will have that conversation probably on Friday, at least with Speech Reco. We can talk to the Bing people. I don't think we have a Kinect for Windows talk, but thanks for asking that. We keep all of our questions and we'll try to get an answer to you. Is there any way to convert an iPad? Can you press a magic button and take an iPad app and generate a Windows 8 app?
Well, if there is, let us know what
it
is.
I would love to know, man. But you know, that actually brings up an interesting point, right? So if I design an app from the moment I conceive of it, I'm like, you know what? This app's going to run on an iPad because I like them. I have them. My friends have them. As a developer, I'm saying this.
We like them too. Like doing.
Yeah. And then I also want to run it on my Windows devices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I design my app from the very first part, I can go, I'm going to use this programming model and this pattern.
Yeah.
And it'll be easier for me to get over to Windows.
Yep.
Right? So I do the MVVM stuff, which you do an iPad anyway. I use C++ or C, not just all Objective-C everywhere, because we can't do anything with
that. That's right.
But there are components that I could then bring over naturally.
That's right.
My C++ physics libraries, whatever, my computation centers. I'd love to see more people think along that way versus just the transcription or
transcription. Look, the transcription is... It is definitely interesting, but it feels like a computer science project. It doesn't feel like a, at least not yet, unless we like bring the, try to replicate all the lines of code which our friends at Apple wrote. Like, we have different point of view maybe or what have you.
Sure.
But I think that you are kind of nailing it. Like, look, there's a lot of assets from your, and if you start with the thought that you want to build a app which is going to ship onto as many devices as you possibly can, then you can architect the app in such a way that a lot of these assets will just come along. The other thing which I think that is super interesting and important to point out is, look, we understand that we live in a multi-device world. And the best programming paradigm to write code against in this multi-device world is standards.
Sure.
And our support for standards since Windows, our commitment to web standards on Windows 7 is just through the roof.
Yeah.
And so if you want to write app which literally goes and commutes between all of these different devices, Android, iOS, Windows, Windows Phone, like writing it in HTML is probably a good choice. Obviously, there are limitations to HTML and things like that, so you have to, again, use a good judgment. But there is a big area of apps or a big corpus of apps which lend themselves very beautifully into HTML. And you know, the performance of our HTML is at native speed. Like, we hardware accelerate everything. We hardware accelerate the graphics. We hardware accelerate the jitting of the JavaScript code. So you can write some really amazing and highly performant apps. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's since IE9, right? We started on that journey.
You're jitting on the GPU?
No, sorry. When I say hardware accelerate on the CPU.
Damn.
We do pre-jit, though.
Yeah, so we do pre-jit.
When you install the app, we go ahead and pre-jit so that by the time the app's running, it's already prepared.
Excellent. It's native code.
Right. So we, for example, avoid the whole parsing of JavaScript when it's getting loaded into memory because it's already laid down in the opcode form on the desk, right?
Excellent.
And so, depending on what the app is and depending on what the scenario is, I think that taking the route of the standards actually is a very good, very, very good thing. But look, some apps don't land themselves very well. Like, if you have like a first person shooter, although we have done WebGL and all of that stuff, not sure if WebGL is exactly the right thing for highly big scalable worlds. Right? Yeah. It's gonna land itself nicely for a number of scenarios, but like a really frame rate intensive game might not be the thing. On the other hand, like writing an app, which is like written mostly in C and C++, and then having OpenGL head on it and DX head on it, those technologies are very, very similar. And so
absolutely,
And there are obviously a lot of third party frameworks out there as well that people use to target multiple platforms.
You got it. Unity is one that comes top of mind, which is a pretty powerful. Yep. Powerful one.
Yeah, for those first-person shooters, it's great. There's also the Xamarin stuff, or more for like XAML stuff.
Amen. I'm a big fan of Xamarin. I love the idea of being able to run .NET everywhere.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
If you're a .NET developer, why is that not a good idea?
Super interesting technology.
But I'm also a huge fan of C++. Now, I'd like to see more people build modern C++ libraries that can be used across devices.
We do too.
It's also a standardized language.
Yep, that's right.
We're not seeing enough people do that. Hopefully that'll change.
Yep.
All right, man. Can we now use the share charm from the desktop? This was actually asked earlier to somebody who might not, and I think he actually nailed the answer, Googs. But we'll ask you, since you're on the Windows team. I want to use the share charm from the desktop. I want to share something from IE. So yeah. I go, boom, it doesn't work. This app can't share.
Yeah.
Obviously, we understand it's
contract. I'm just curious, what did Google say? I just want to make sure that we don't say something different. So.
Well, basically, we agreed, yeah. both of us not being on the Windows
yeah,
team, we
yeah.
agreed. It sort of makes sense. They're two different models.
Yeah, that's right. But
if I want to share, it assumes that there's a contract.
That's right.
Versus a Win32 app running that has no idea what sharing is.
Exactly right.
It's not been coded into the app itself.
Exactly right. Like so John already touched on it. The a lot of the APIs which we have built into the WinRT platform are built around the fact that, for example, we understand the app identity, and share charm and search charm being some of them. Mm-hmm. And so having some of these things work across these boundaries mm-hmm. proved to be a little more challenging than we were ready to tackle.
Sure.
Maybe we'll get to it, but right now it's not possible.
There are
two different app yeah. models and
yeah. So I'll just give you an example. So with sharing and with a lot of these things, we when your app's not running, we suspend it.
Sure.
But your app may be sitting there suspended, but then something that's happening either from the share charm or maybe paste, right? Copy and paste still exists. Mm-hmm. Actually may need to go back to your app to fetch data and potentially even compute the data. And under the covers, we manage all that and we say, oh, look, they're trying to talk to that guy. We can wake him up for a second because we know that the user's done some action, do some work, and put him back to bed.
Yeah.
We can't do that to desktop apps. Like right. the desktop programming model does not allow us to yeah. do things like that. And so we just can't.
There are conventions and sure. there are things which we as a developers learn to depend on,
yeah.
which we just cannot bend because that would just break everything. And
absolutely.
So we didn't go there so far. And it's a big problem. Like, we don't want to trivialize it. It's a really big problem, and we have not yet come up with a great answer for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks for answering it. Will WinRT 8.1 have native MDI support?
MIDI. That's kind of like making a big beat kind of thing.
MIDI, yeah, sorry.
It does not have a native MIDI, but you can certainly build it with
okay.
all of the different device support which we have put in a box. If I'm not mistaken, I actually seen somebody build a sample at Microsoft which was doing some MIDI awesomeness, but I don't think that we have directly MIDI APIs.
Sure, right on. Heaven's Revenge, that's a niner, recognize the name. Is IE11 using C++ AMP to effectively implement concurrent JavaScript execution in Chakra? Maybe that's, we should talk to Steve Luco about that.
Yeah, this is Luco
yeah.
question.
Yeah, but Luco, I will tell you this, the man is a C programmer.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure if he's using any C++ 11, even C++ AMP might be off the charts, way beyond what he would want to do. But that's a great question.
Yeah,
we'll ask Steve, man.
Yeah, Luco is your man.
WinRT will support SQL Server CE. What's the database engine that ships in Windows 8.1?
Like so, this is a question which gets asked a lot.
Sure.
Inbox, we ship ESE,
yeah.
right? So the Extensible Storage Engine,
okay.
which internally is called JetBlue.
Okay.
And it's basically an ISAM database, so it's very performant. Very reliable. We actually build a lot of the core parts of the operating system on it. That's the database that we ship in box. But then a lot of people want sort of higher level, like they want SQL, they want,
QP,
query processors, all that kind of stuff. And we don't ship one in box right now.
Okay.
There are some really great ones that are libraries that you can just drop in a DLL and go.
Yeah.
Cool. But we currently don't ship.
Yeah. Like SQLite.
Yeah, SQLite is actually quite popular across
Definitely.
All of the mobile development platforms. And
yep.
Actually, there was a lot of great work which happened to make it store ready. Mm-hmm. So SQLite-net is a great instance of that.
Cool.
And it supports WinRT. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for all the questions. We only have about 40 seconds left. So we're going to take one more. Let's see, which would be the one that we'd want to ask? Well, those are going to be able to override that on my scaling question. I mean, which one would you guys want? One, two, or three? We can't read
three.
One or two.
Yeah.
We can't see three. Can we see three? That's Al. But Al, we already answered one of your questions. I want to make sure. Let's go. Will desktop applications be able to override the automatic scaling functionality added in 8.1? Say, for example,
yeah.
you bring...
Yeah, they can, absolutely. Yes. So you can basically mark your app to say that, you know, I'm aware of what we call, dynamic?
Per monitor dynamic API scaling, yeah.
And so if you say, listen, I understand that there are different monitors that have different scales, then we won't do any of that stuff, and you just go ahead and handle it yourself.
Yep.
Rock and roll.
There's an event, you handle it, and you do whatever you need to.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you for coming on Channel 9 Live.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, and thanks for the great work in 8.1. Very impressive, and 8 in general. It's a very interesting new model, new world. So thank you for doing all that great work, man.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. Watch the live stream. Great session coming up.